Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of the Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined for one last session this calendar year with our dear friend and my trusted colleague in ministry, Brother Paige Tyler. We have been spending the second Saturday of each month examining the steps of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone. Brother Paige, for the 12th time this year, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Bradley. It's a blessing always to be here.
Well, it is a blessing for us as well. And we have taken steps 1 through 11 in succession, and we culminate now with step 12. Brother, if you would kindly speak the step to us, and then perhaps we just need to step back for a moment or two to make certain that there's a kind of review as we plunge into the 12th and final step.
Right, and 12th step, and having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, the previous 11 steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And our biblical reference, of course, for this is, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Galatians 6:1. And that speaks to our problems being our sin nature, not alcohol, drugs, or food, or overbuying, or sex addictions, or whatever else has brought you to a 12-step program. Gambling, those things are not your problem. Your problem is your sin nature. And Galatians 6 speaks to we brothers who are not engaged in fulfilling our sin nature. When we find a brother who is engaged in the sin nature, that we try our best to restore them gently. But we also be very careful to watch ourselves, because we too may be tempted and fall.
But as I look at step 12, it is evident to me that we're looking at a thoroughness or a comprehensiveness. And what that means practically is that if we get to step 12 by osmosis, by working all of the preliminary steps, it does speak to a kind of integrity of person. I mean, that's a wholeness, if you will. I think that's the whole point of the gospel. We go from being broken people to being restored and made whole, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, all working in synchronized form together. We're not at odds with ourselves, and we can be more readily not at odds with other people because integrity to our lives has been restored. Would that be an accurate way of looking at this, at least in part?
Yes. Not only have we been restored in our own personal integrity, we've been restored in a personal relationship with God. And that's the main point here. We've established conscious contact, that we are aware of God's omnipresence. Most human beings are unaware of it. They go through life all day long doing whatever their minds or hearts tell them to do without knowledge of the omnipresence of God being right there, looking over your shoulder, seeing every single thing, even every thought that they think is known to God.
It's interesting you speak along these lines. I was just earlier today spending time with a missionary couple who are very dear to all of us. You'll recognize the first names, Mike and Cindy. They work on the other side of the Atlantic. Lovely people, and it's such a joy because in conversation with them, as in conversation with you, dear brother, there is always this palpable experience. There's this, they are, to be with people who are sensate to the presence of God. We may not understand everything, and I'm not suggesting we're hearing voices from the heavenlies, although maybe we do. But to have that pronounced sense that God is real and that God is present and that God, if you will, is on our side in a way that is germane to who he is, not so much to ourselves with our limited understandings, but to know that he is real and vitally present, that is a significant advantage to the living out of life, is it not?
It changes the whole way you look at life. The whole, your whole view on life changes. It goes from an I focus to a he focus and a we focus. We suddenly become entrenched in the Lord and his will for us and seeking the power to carry that out. That was, by the way, just the previous step that we just got finished talking about last month. But now we are living that out. We're seeking his power each and every day to carry out his will, not our will. And I'm not saying I do that every day. You know, I can't even say I do it every other day. But on the days that I do it, oh, it's such a glorious day. You know, and all the other days I'm trying.
Giving it your best shot, we trust. You know, you know, something comparable, perhaps not an exact parallel, but comparable. I was with our lovely friend Christine last evening. Christine's going to be sharing her testimony at our forthcoming Christmas dinner. And she asked me what I wanted her to say. And one of the highlights was the following. I'd like you to share with our people how 30 years after your accident and your conversion experience, over the course of that time, A, or number one, how has God been working within you? And B, or number two, how has God been working through you, aka carrying this message to others, whether through word or deed? So the practicing of the principles in all of our affairs, this relates inherently to who we are. The carrying of the message to others relates to our connectedness to other people and our desire for them to benefit as we ourselves have benefited. All of the principles that are playing out in this 12-step movement, as you are never weary of saying, are the product of scriptural or biblical principle, and therefore they hail direct, not simply from the throne of God, but from the very heart of God. And so we are working in synchronized fashion with God himself.
Exactly. And this is an amazing feat, because many of us come, even if we were sitting on the front pew of the church, come from positions of being at total odds from God, because we're in ourselves and we think we know. We elevate ourselves to God-like knowledge and think we know what God wants and what God is telling the whole world to do through us, which is like, you know, I do hear audible voices from God every once in a while.
And I do as well.
Yeah, it's usually good, something like this. Shut up.
And he may not be as polite as that, right?
You know?
However, you know, in full sobriety, I always stress to people, because not everyone has that kind of experience. It is always an experience that will be germane to God's purpose in our lives. We can't simply conjure it up, nor for those of us who may from time to time receive that kind of direct communique, which is always a practical application of the word of God that is before us in the Bible. It is always on God's terms and for God's purpose. You know, praise God for that, to be sure. But these 12 steps, you know, look, I'm 62 years of age. I'm just completing 35 years of pastoral ministry. In fact, next week it will be technically my 35th anniversary. And so it makes one reflect both to the past, but also project into the future. I love step 12 because it gives me, provided I've at least provisionally gotten there, it gives me a base and a fulcrum upon which to apply the rest of my life. Yeah. I mean, if I apply these steps and reach step 12, I know that the rest of my days will be fulfilling and productive because I'm operating in sync with the Almighty Himself.
You are struggling to practice these principles.
Yes.
In all your affairs.
Yes.
And have to bless.
Absolutely. Them. Praise God. Tell me, Paige, you have been at this for well over 30 years. I mean, I think you're working on close to 35 years yourself, if not of pastoral ministry, then of 12-step ministry. What's it feel like to at least touch or to be gently scathed by step 12?
Well, it's a great feeling when you are in alignment with the will of God. And every once in a while in your life, you will find yourself, if you're trying to work these steps, you will be in absolute alignment with the will of God. You will be sitting there talking to someone, and stuff will be coming out of your mouth that you never even thought of. Or you'll be making an example, or you'll come up with some analogy that you never even thought of in your life before. But it's so apropos to this situation, and you will know in your heart that it is not you now, that it is God. And you have to take that step back and just let God work. And to watch Him do that sometimes is just amazing.
It speaks to what we as evangelicals are very want to say by way of distinction. I'm not opposed to the use of the word religion, but we do always have to qualify that for us as Christians, we are living within the framework of a bona fide relationship with Almighty God. If we are in relationship, relationship is never abstract. It is very visceral and palpable. If you're married, you understand this. If you have children or parents, you understand this. And we're operating within the framework of an encounter with the Almighty. Of course, that's going to make a distinction in the quality of our lives and how we go about it. Step 12, I think, drives this message home. We couldn't have gotten this far without the mercy and the grace and the assistance of the one with whom we share such a relationship, the Almighty Himself. But Brother Page, I'm fearful that we need to take a break. Not so much fearful, but mindful. We shall return, Brother Page Tyler and Brad Lacey, discussing step 12 of the 12-step movement. We return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Page Tyler, returning with the second round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler and I have begun to look at step 12 of the 12-step ministry, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brother Tyler, right out of the starting gate of step 12, it reads, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Now, obviously, one could have a spiritual awakening unrelated to an overt practice of the steps. But can one get to step 12 in any meaningful way without that spiritual awakening?
Sadly enough,
I didn't think so.
You can have a spiritual awakening without following the steps. There are many people who have done it. It's just not usually an organized method of achieving that goal.
Yeah. Right. The principles are going to be in play.
They may not be so neatly organized for you to take them in step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But all of these ingredients will be in there at some point. You will,
absolutely,
at some point, you will have to look at yourself and your own human humanity and the failures thereof, and reconcile that to the world around you. You'll need to reconcile that yourself to your God, your Lord and Savior. And then you will need to reconcile that yourself to the people who are closest to you, your loved ones who have loved you and cared for you all these years and put up with all your crap.
And isn't it also fair to say, I have a colleague in ministry who often uses the phrase, and I love it, messy righteousness. Our living out our lives of righteousness, courtesy of Christ. I mean, the classic theological word is imputation. Christ has imputed to us or given to us his righteousness. It's an exchange. Right. But our righteousness, our expression of it will be messy. Is it not fair to say that though we have 11 previous steps to work, they might not always be playing out in proper chronological succession?
And they may not be as clean and pure as they read in the book.
Right.
You may kind of bounce around. You may not get thoroughly done step six before you're on to step seven, eight, and nine. You may have some more work to do back there in step six later on. And it kind of like goes around and around and around. And, you know, if I was studying any other class of study, I would have so many daggone doctor's degrees on the wall for that particular class of study. So I wouldn't have room on my wall anymore. Yet today, I don't have any degree for the 12-step program. Because there is no graduation.
No. Every day is a fresh commencement, if there is. You know, it's also true. I look back upon my own existence and my growth as a Christian. It might very well be that one particular step is having to be harnessed for an extended period of time. For instance, I said to my granddaughter not too long ago, because she was being told in school about the importance of making change in the world. And I said to her twofold. I said, first, honey, there are some things that don't need to be changed. They're doing just fine the way they are, you know. But second, if you want to make an adequate change in the world that you determine needs to be done, the best way to do it is to allow God to change you. And so there may be one of these steps that needs to be given accentuated attention. So it's not always as neat as one step a month.
Exactly.
It could be one step a year. The important thing is that the process is being allowed to play out, however germane to your circumstance and position.
The first day you make your decision that you are going to walk the path of Christianity, you've started working all 12 steps.
Yes.
You know, it may be, what do you call it, messy or sloppy, you know, but as you get better and better at it, you know, of course, the powerlessness, understanding that God is in control, he's the one with the power, and I don't have any power. In fact, if I'm going up against Satan, who is a powerful angel who could swat me like a fly, I'm probably very powerless unless I'm going up against him with the Spirit of Christ in me.
I might just add the qualifier, your righteousness and my righteousness is not so much messy. That's an upgrade. That's pathetic,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But God loves pathetic creatures. His love is, define his love. I think it was the great William Barclay, something along the lines of pure, unadulterated benevolence.
Yeah.
God is so beautifully disposed towards us. He may need to discipline us. We might not always please him, but he always loves us.
Exactly. And anybody who ends up in a 12-step program probably has felt the hand of discipline because he has worked himself into a mess. And now he's asking God to get him out. That's usually
the 12-step program by its nature, an expression of God's loving discipline, providing framework. But you have to listen.
Yeah.
You have to humble yourself and listen.
It's also providing a way out. Usually we got ourselves into a mess that we don't know how to get out of. And that's when we're finally humble enough to yield and say, okay, I'm powerless over this guy. You're going to have to take control. Out of that one mess that we could not control, whatever it was, out of that, we start to realize that we really are powerless over everything, and that God is the power that by which our strength comes from.
You know, I want to be careful. This is not meant to be a political statement. It may very well project as such. It's not my intention. But when I listen to some of the ecological people, and they have some things that we need to hear, but sometimes they go to an extreme and they communicate, as they have, that within 12 years, we will have destroyed planet Earth and there'll be nothing left and it'll be nothing but obliteration and oblivion. My experience in life is I'm barely able to put my pants on without help. How I could destroy the Earth in 12 years, that's giving me more power than I have. I think we need to humble ourselves and recognize that there are things relating to the environment we certainly need to be more attentive to. But that also speaks to the effect that I need to be much more attentive to what God has for my life if I'm to be made whole and clean, and to be fruitful. Praise God. But we need to take a break. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we return for a third round of The Great Message in just a moment. Thank you.
This program is paid for by First Baptist Church of Conshohocken.
Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, returning with a third round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Paige and I are immersed in step 12 of the 12-step movement, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brother, tell me what you think. This is tantamount to my mind, given that it brings things to a culminating place. But culmination as a stepping off to commencement. When I look at myself as a Christian, my entire Christian experience is geared towards, on the one hand, giving glory to God with my life, on the other, being a witness for Christ to everybody around me. Step 12, if you are now dwelling within the realm of step 12, you have a wonderful witness as to what is possible, courtesy of the Almighty and His grace.
Not only do you have a wonderful witness, your life itself, the way you're living it out, is a living witness to the mm-hmm. power of God and what He can do in your life. So you're a living, breathing epistle of God. If you practice these principles in all your affairs. If you start taking the principles that you learned in the previous 11 steps and you start practicing them in all your affairs, you start humbling yourself before the Lord. You start asking Him to lift you up and you stop lifting up yourself. You put other persons before your own. Other person's needs before your own, and the needs of the gospel, God's kingdom, before your needs. And all of a sudden, you start being this light that people are attracted to automatically. And you start drawing people towards you. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Yes.
You lift up Christ in your heart, you will draw people to you. You won't have to chase them down.
Yes, I wholeheartedly concur. You know, I've been thinking as of late, evangelicals, I mean, the Lord has used us to make a difference in so many ways constructively, but there's one pitfall to evangelical Christianity that if we're not careful, we're doing. It's very easy. It may not be our intent. There are times when we're simply called upon to speak truth, and truth can be abrasive, it can be offensive. But if we're not careful, we're lobbing stones over the wall. Step 12, which to my mind is the embodiment of Christian maturation, we are embodying the gospel, AKA we are embodying the 12 steps. We're embodying it amongst the people at large. They're able to see our light because we're not behind a wall. We're amongst them. You go back to Nehemiah in the Old Testament. He worked alongside of the people building the wall. When Jesus in the Great Commission says, you will go out into all the world and be my disciples. When he says you will go out, what he means is as you go about your life, as you go about your day, as you go about working with your colleagues or living in your neighborhood, we're amongst the people and the light is allowed to shine.
Exactly.
I know that your light shines. That's been evident to me since the year 2003 when we met.
Well, the idea is let's get everybody's light shining because there's a whole bunch of darkness on this planet right now. And we got to get some people's light shining. And obviously the way we've been doing it hasn't been that effective. You know, I mean, we did pretty good with converting a large portion of the world, but it's kind of like we ourselves are the torch bearers. And, you know, I'm looking at my fellow Christians, and I think we're kind of like falling down on the job now. We've kind of like lost the impetus. We're so caught up in our own little worlds, our own little chapels, until we've lost the idea. But, well, you know, we're sending our $19 a month out to feed the starving kids, and we think that's it. That's not it.
You know what's always concerned me, and I want to be careful, because on the one hand, it's a very fine thing. Americans have always, at least heretofore, been embodiments of a spirit of volunteerism. So we volunteer our time, we volunteer our energies. And thank God for that, that there's no slight there. But there is a difference between being a volunteer, which is predicated upon our convenience, and being a servant of the gospel, which is predicated not upon what is convenient to me or what interests me. It is predicated upon the need that God, to which God opens my eyes. So I can't just, I'm done now. It's 7 o'clock. I'm going home. Now, maybe you can. But we're dealing with an issue of commitment. If you can get to step 12, you have invested your life in the 12-step movement. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're investing your life in him and what he has for you. And so the holistic dimension incorporates everything.
Exactly. So it's practicing these principles in all our affairs. It's everything.
Yes.
All is like one of those little teeny words that's too big to carry. You know, it's like it means all. You can't wiggle your way out of it. You can't take a little piece of it and say, I don't have to practice this part today. It says in all of my affairs. And I'm doing that each and every day. I'm starting a new day afresh. A new day, each day, God's mercies are born afresh. Each day, our commitment to Christ is born afresh. And we need to give our whole selves to that commitment each and every day, each time the opportunity is presented to us. We need to be available to God, we need to be practicing the principle, and we need to be laying down an example for the rest of the world for how to live this Christian life, how to live it out.
If I may put it this way, even in our free time, during our holiday time, whenever I go into a restaurant, the Lord has simply impressed this upon me. I'm going in to have a lovely meal with a friend or a loved one, but I'm always given to be mindful of the waiter or waitress. Their welfare, to my mind, is more important than my dining experience. And what I have found in this is, and it's my time, it's my free time, I'm off the clock, but what I have found is more often than not, the waiter or the waitress, not always, but more often than not, has needed my Christianity in that moment. I've had opportunity to pray with them, to counsel them, to encourage them. It is so important we see past our own noses. And that's an issue of maturation. Step 12 is you have, if you're not fully mature, you have been brought into a modicum or a degree of maturation that defies the norm. Maturation by its nature enables you and prompts you to see beyond yourself. You are now a witness to another person.
Exactly. And you can be a witness every single day, even when you don't know it.
Yes.
Even when you don't know it. I'm retired now, but when I used to work, you know, I experienced just being, practicing these principles in all of my affairs, which included my work environment. Yet I found myself being able to be a helpful Christian to others at work in a place where it wasn't very popular.
Well, to be a Christian. Do you know how you take notice of somebody in the workplace or in the restaurant? Something about them captures your attention. Well, something about you captures their attention as well, right? Praise God. If it's a good thing, praise God, you know. But one more round forthcoming. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Tyler and I are looking at step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brother, what intrigues me here? We're talking about being embodiments, using evangelical language, being witnesses, because we're carrying a message to other people, and we're doing it by way of a full court press of personal practice. But the scripture text that we're given gives it almost a kind of specialized case study. The scripture text is Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. According to the text of the scripture and the text of the 12-step manual, the fact that I have achieved some modicum of maturity, this will find expression not simply in carrying the message like a torchbearer, not simply practicing what I preach, but according to the scriptural maxim, it also gives me allowance, legitimate allowance, to confront someone who perhaps isn't where he or she should be. Talk about this.
Well, in the 12-step program, we call it what? Intervention. But it is very oftentimes when you have to very gently confront someone about where they are in their program, where they are in their spiritual growth. If they're claiming spiritual growth and they're not expressing themselves in a spiritual way that is glorifying it to Jesus, then they're in error and they're going the wrong way. And if you can see that, you've got to figure out, it's a juggling act, because without the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to do it wrong. Because I've done it wrong so many times. I can guarantee you that you got to pray about it first. And the Lord will give you the right time and the right place and the right words to say to the person so that you can bring it into them, bring it into their sphere without triggering their defense mechanism. Because it's useless to trigger their defense mechanism. You're not getting anything anywhere. But the Lord will give you a way of saying it and that will be able to get through to them, you know, that will allow them to accept it this time, or at least hear it. May not fix them right away, but at least they heard you. And they didn't reject you and throw it away right away, because you being another holier than thou.
But you know what, brother? I recently underwent a quadruple bypass, as you know. It was my second major cardiac surgery in 4 years. It's not pleasant. And even now, I continue to experience discomfiture in my chest as the sternum that had been cracked open, as it's knitting itself back into proper order. So the healing process entails discomfiture. It's the nature of the beast. I'm getting better, and one reason I know that I am is because I'm having such pronounced discomfiture in my chest. All right? It's one of those paradoxes, okay? I remember something the great Charles Stanley, the Baptist preacher, said, that you're never more blessed in life than when a brother or sister in Christ confronts you lovingly with a sin that he or she sees you committing or stuck in. Growth comes with pain. It's going to be abrasive. It's going to hurt. But my surgeon meant well by me. She applied the full measure of her insight and skill to making me better. A brother or sister in Christ, a fellow 12-stepper, when we issue confrontation, if it's done in love, we bring the full plethora of our lives to bear upon that individual's welfare, not condemnation, but welfare.
Exactly. You're lifting that person up. Even though, so you can't come with condemnation, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So therefore, you must come with some kind of blessing. When I can bless you and still point to where I believe you are in error, I can do it.
Yes. Well, the Apostle Paul has that classic formulation in Ephesians 4. It's unbeatable. Speaking the truth in love.
That's the important part. You've got to be in love. It's better to start out with a positive.
Right. It helps. You know, you know, they tell me, Paige, when I cough or sneeze, they give me this red heart-shaped pillow, and they tell me, hold it close and squeeze it when I have to cough or sneeze. Guess what? It doesn't do anything. All right? I don't know. It does nothing. You do your part. And they'll have to get through the abrasive side of it. But when they start thinking about it, that good point or word of affirmation before you hit them, it will help. If they're willing to think it through, it will help. Unlike the hot pillow, it will help. Because you're speaking yourself from a well-disposed heart. Praise God for that.
And you know that you have spoke the truth to them, and you've done it in a loving way. And therefore... Yeah. You've completed your responsibility as a fellow Christian to them, as a brother and sister.
Yes.
Not as some lord, but as a brother and sister to them. And you've completed now. They choose to go along whatever way they want to go right ahead. I can't go with you, but I will pray for you.
You're endeavoring to use a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. You know, there's a big difference there. Somebody recently came to me to some extent, it may have simply been a difference of opinion, but I also understood there was some validity to what he was saying. He felt I was out of line in one particular area, not egregiously so, but enough that he wanted to bring something to my attention. And then, interestingly, he apologized. He hoped he hadn't hurt my feelings. And I said, brother, whether I agree or disagree with you, and I need to work it through, I know that you were well motivated. I know that you were mindful of my welfare. And so I thank you for speaking. And if what you have shared with me, it proves to be accurate, I thank you all the more, because my respect for the truth is such that if you're right and I was wrong, I need to be corrected. So you've done me a favor. But it takes a man or a woman of step 12-like maturity to do this. But Brother Page, it takes a 12-step mature man or woman to tell you we're out of time, okay? God bless you, Paige.
God bless you, Brad.
Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey, God bless you. We bid you God's blessings in every way. Take care.